Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get a chance, and we'll send it to you every single Sunday afternoon by email. We also have our blog that's there, Jim's blog, which is also at jimsblog.biz. And I hope you'll take advantage of that. That brings everything that we do every day right up front, right up on under the homepage, right up under the blog, and help you to navigate around a little bit better. And so it's an audio blog. Don't forget, it's actually a multimedia blog, not like most other blogs that you'll see. Pierce and Jane Howard are our guests, ladies and gentlemen. We got both of them today. We get two for one and double your money today with Pierce and Jane Howard. Pierce is the author of the Owner's Manual for the Brain, and he and Jane are the authors of the Owner's Manual for Personality at Work, and they're our friends. Jane, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Delighted to be back.
It's good to have you back, and Pierce, good to have you back, too.
Pleasure to be with you.
So what do you guys got on your mind today? What are we working on today?
Well, we were thinking about the most common mistakes, just a list of the most common mistakes that we tend to make with other people as we bring them into our business.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
We've got a whole litany here.
Well, one of the reasons why that's an excellent idea is, and I was talking to Nancy Rozanoff about this earlier, about the control thing that we have. When most of us start a business, we're all by ourselves, and we don't have anybody else to talk to. Answer to, and we get into this control freak mode. We get into this this attitude that we've got to do everything, and it sets us up the wrong way to bring on those first employees, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Very clearly.
Well, what that reminds me, Jim, I don't know the how recent this research has been revised, but there was a piece of research done some 10 or 15 years ago that indicated that the typical small business startup tends to die out within 3 to 5 years. And the ones that die out tend to die out primarily because of the failure to delegate.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Right in line with what you're saying about being overly controlling. It's not realizing that one person can't do everything, and as you grow, you need to let go of certain functions and let others who have complementary strengths take over those functions. The ones who tend to last beyond that 5 years tend to have that understanding. They may still be full of ego, but they are essentially selfless in the regard that they can let go of certain tasks and give them over to other people that have strengths in those areas.
Dane, tagging on to what Pierce was just saying, I think the thing that people be able to behavior is that five, they've got a success not in their own performance, but and are there personalities that really make it hard for them to do that?
Clearly, Jim, one of the biggest mistakes that people make as they bring someone in is that they expect that the other person is going to be just like themselves. And if they have the typical interview and they shake the hand of the person and they say, "Ah, you're like me, we connect," and they bring them on board without clearly thinking through what are the other tasks, what are the other roles, what are the other responsibilities that I want this person to do that will free me up to do what I'm best at. And that's one of the key mistakes that small business owners make, is they want to feel good about who they're hiring, but if that's the only thing they're looking at, then they're missing the boat.
Saying, Jane, Pierce, I think saying that one interview does not a good relationship make. Am I right about that?
It takes a lot of interviews. It takes finding out the personality of the other person you want to bring on board and finding out the personality of yourself, because you need to see how the two of you will work together effectively before you bring them on board.
So
it also depends on the quality of the interview. If you have thought through the requirements of the position and you actually design your interview to identify whether or not an individual possesses the strengths for the requirement of that position, then your interview is likely to be more effective.
Tell us how to conduct an interview. But Jane, how are you? Come back, they're going to help us interviews work. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate Anywhere, visiting with Pierce and Jane Howard. I should say Jane and Pierce Howard. And they're the co-authors of the Owner's Manual for Personality at Work. And Jane, give us your website, please.
Jim, we're located at www.syntax.com. And syntax is spelled C-E-N-T-A-C-S.
All right.
Center for Applied Tactical Studies.
Go ahead.
I was just saying Syntax stands for Center for Applied Cognitive Studies.
Now, as we went to the break, Pierce, you were talking about making sure that the interview is structured so that you get the kind of personality information out of the employee, of the prospective employee, so that you have a little better idea about whether this person is going to work out or not. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Now, I can remember very early in my career that a good interview consisted of simply trying to determine whether you felt good. Did you connect with the person? Did you like their sense of humor? Did they appear to be sharp? Did they appear to have the appropriate background to work with you and that sort of thing? In essence, what I was looking for was a clone, mm-hmm. and it was very narcissistic. I was trying to look in the mirror and see if I saw myself in the other person. What we know today is that if we do that, we're going to end up in trouble. I got a contract once as a consultant to do 50 time management workshops for a client, and it really bothered me. And I went to my partner and said, I don't want to deliver 50 time management workshops. I'm going to be bored to death. It's too repetitive, and I need variety in my work. That's what drives me on, is variety. And he agreed. He was the same way, and he said, you know, this explains that we've been hiring too many other consultants that are like us. They're all creative and like variety. We need to begin hiring some consultants who like to perfect things, who like to repeat them till they get it just right, and they take pride in practice makes perfect. And we did that. We went out and we hired a consultant away from another organization who was not a creative type, but was a down-and-out, practical, practice makes perfect. It takes pride in spit and polish. And we hired this guy, and he did the 50-time management workshops, and he did a great job.
Well, you know, another thing that happens, Pierce and Jane, is we go into these interviews, in most small business scenarios, we go into these interviews wanting to hire another person so badly, so quickly. We want to get this done that we're highly motivated to believe that the next person who walks in the door is going to be the right one. And so we don't even do as good a job as we know to do, let alone all the things that we don't know.
That's right.
We've got to do the work. Another thing we do, Jim, is we assume that regardless of the person that we hired that they can be or do anything we need them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we just say, you know, if they're motivated enough, if they like us enough, they're going to be able to do this. And that's not necessarily true.
All right. How do we fix this? How do we infuse into our process, into our interview process, the kind of steps, the kind of questions, the kind of process that will make us, that will help us to find the person to fit the job?
You need to start with yourself. You need to know what your personality is and how it helps you do your job. You need to define what the job is that you want the other person to do. And you need to profile that person as you're hiring them to know if, in fact, they are the person that you hope or want them to be.
And Pierce, based on what you were saying, we go into these interviews thinking, I've got to find as much as I can out about this new person, when we probably should be saying, what do I know about myself before I go meet this new person?
That's right. And there is a structure that you can use called the SAR method. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but the SAR method, and it doesn't have to do with a deadly gas, but SAR stands for situation, action, and results. And the way you work it, Jim, is you think of a job requirement. Let's say that you're wanting to hire a bookkeeper, and you want to find out how good they are at problem solving. And so you say, okay, Bob, here is the situation. You discover a major discrepancy in your book, and you define what the nature of the discrepancy was. Tell me about a time in your past when you have found a similar major discrepancy in your books. Tell me what the discrepancy was, and then describe what action you took to resolve the discrepancy. What was your action plan? What were your action steps? And then what were the results of your intervention? And there's some research that shows that if you follow that very simple structure, that very simple methodology, that you can get a very good idea as to the person's ability or temperament or experience in handling the kinds of situations that they will encounter in the role that you are preparing to put them in.
But sometimes the answers that we get, we think are wrong, when they probably are right for the job that we're trying to hire for. And I'd like for get Jane and Pierce to talk to us about that when we come back after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Pierce and Jane Howard, the authors of the Owner's Manual for Personality at Work. And Pierce, I think I was talking to you when we took the break, and you were talking about in this interview process. Would you pick back up where you left off?
Yeah, the what we said was the SAR method. Describe a situation in which you did a task that is similar to what's going to be required of you in this job. What action did you take to resolve it, and what were the consequences or the results? The corollary of that is looking into the future and presenting to the candidate a situation that they might encounter, and have them talk about how they might intervene in the situation and what they anticipate the results might be, again, to get an eye into their thinking. Now, this is a very strong method of interviewing, but it has one serious limitation, and that is that you, the interviewer, have a good handle on effective interventions.
Mm-hmm.
And and the results that they might bring. So there may be an advantage into thinking through these situations with other people before the interview. So
well, that's a good reason to have multiple interviewers, isn't it?
Yes. Most of these interview panels tend to have three or four individuals on them.
Well, and I've been through those. I've been through those multiple interview scenarios, and they can be pretty rigorous, but they're very effective. And when you go through them and you actually get hired, which I was after the first one I went through many, many years ago, I felt pretty good about myself, Jane.
You always do. There's another mistake we often make with our people that we hire, Jim, and that is that of assuming that when a problem comes up, when a situation comes up, that they will think about it the same way we do, that they will handle it in the same way that we do. And you can get at some of that through that interview process if you give them a specific situation to comment upon.
Don't we also, and I said this just before we went to the break, don't we get into a situation where we actually are hearing something we don't like, but in truth it might be the right answer, we just aren't prepared to think about, I mean, as you've taught us before, you know, different jobs require different personalities. So is it possible that the person is telling us all the right answers and letting us know that they've got the personality for that job, but we're not prepared to think about it the right way?
That often happens, Jim, that we're not sure that we want to hire somebody who thinks differently from us, because mm-hmm. we've got to deal with this person then day in and day out if they're in our business. And but it may be the very person that you need to deal with your customers. It may be the very person that you need working behind the scenes while you deal with the customers.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Pierce?
I'm you know, one of the most memorable interviews that I ever had was with a very well-educated guy. I think he had 6 college degrees. And in the interview, the impression that I was left with is this guy says, I can do anything that I put my mind to. Give me a task and I can excel at it. Anything. Creative, practical, people task, working with data. So I can do it all. I can do absolutely everything. And I remember feeling after that task, after that interview, there's no way I'm going to hire this person. Because I don't know where their passion is. I don't know where they don't. I don't think they have a sense of their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
So people are simply not built that way. There are people with a wide-ranging curiosity who are interested in many, many different things. In fact, I'm one of them. I'm fascinated by many, many different fields.
Right.
That doesn't mean that I have natural energy and talent in all those different fields. And I need to have a sense of where are the natural abilities and behaviors that I can rely on day in and day out without giving out of energy.
That person needs to go run their own business, I think. Pierce and Jane Howard, thank you for being here. Thank you for understand how to do a better job of hiring our employees. See you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye, Jane. Bye, Pierce.
See you later.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back on the other side of the news. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.